Okay, so the primary act of man's rebellion against God is worship. That comes in Romans chapter 1. So what is this worship we're talking about here? All right, we'll look at it, my friends. Colin Cook here. Thank you very much for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the good news about our Heavenly Father and His life and work in Jesus Christ. Looking at the good news of Christ and how our faith trains itself in Him as we struggle with either addictions or obsessive thoughts or all the troubles and problems we go through in the world. But we're looking at rather bad news right now in Romans chapter 1, although if you see it in its real core, you see God very, very much involved in a loving aggression with us. A loving aggression, if you like that phrase. Now, it's important to see this, my friend, so that we see our condition, so that then we see our need of the gospel, the good news. All right, you've heard me say several weeks now that all mankind, according to this chapter, is in a state of suppression, blocking God, shutting Him out. We are in flight from Him. Now, God is light. So if we're blocking Him, our soul is terribly dark and isolated. Even as Christians, we find there are many, many blocks to our fellowship with God because we're afraid and we feel guilty and we are in shame. So there are many blocks even in the Christian life to God. And that leads us to this dark mind, or that results in this dark mind as I've described it, because we've locked out the light. All right, so how does man react to that? Because it's an intolerable state. And as you have seen, it's in verse 23 and 25. They exchanged the glory of God, that is all mankind, you and I and all of us, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So this verse tells us several things, these verses. They tell us that one of the basic drives, if not the basic drive in mankind, is to worship, to adore, to know the security of something more wonderful and glorious beyond us and above us. Without it, life is a tedium, life is a bore, life is one endless round of meaningless stuff. But when God is in our heart and in our picture, then even the most regular habits of the day, or actions of the day, getting a shower, getting dressed, going to work, develop all kinds of new meaning because God is there, because we have a center for the soul, we have a light in the soul, we have someone to worship and adore. Without that, life is a horrendous tedium. That is an intolerable psychological and spiritual state. So we change God for something else. We worship Him. We worship something else. Now that tells us that not only is man born to worship, it also tells us that there is really no such thing as an atheist. An atheist is simply someone who has changed God for something else or someone else and is worshiping Him. Now, what then is this worship? Look, my friends, it says here that people worship birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, you know, the idols of stone, the idols of wood. But then it also says in verse 25 that we worship the creature rather than the Creator. So there is a projection of the qualities of God upon wood and stone, and then a projection of the qualities of God upon people. It's all incredibly absurd, isn't it? Isaiah, as you know, points out the stupidity of all this. In chapter 44 of Isaiah, he says, "Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. The blacksmith with the tongs works one in the coals, fashions it with hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. Even so, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water, and is faint. The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks out one out with chalk. He fashions it with a plane. He marks it out with the compass and makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He cuts down cedars for himself and takes the cypress and the oak. He secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine and the rain nourishes it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread on it. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire. With this half he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it, and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know or understand. See, Isaiah shows the absurdity of it. How can people be so stupid? Well, the answer is, of course, that in our delusions, we become magical and we project the qualities and powers that God has upon objects like wood and stone, and we start venerating them and believing that they have powers to bless us. Well, of course, it's a terrible thing. But that is the nature of worship, to take the qualities of God and apply them to something else. But, my friend, don't think that pagans who worship stone and wood are the only ones who do this. Because, as I pointed out to you a little bit earlier, Paul reveals that all of us have suppressed God, and all of us are pagans at heart. And all of us are projecting the powers and the qualities of God upon, if not wood and stone, then people. What, for instance, is it to envy someone else? It is to project upon him qualities that are so important, so beyond us, that we desire to have them ourselves. And we not only have envy for that person, but if we keep wishing we had what he or she had, then we start being jealous. And when we let jealous fester and we feed it, then we start manipulating that person to somehow become like him or her. You see, worship isn't an overt bowing down to. It is this unconscious belief that this other person can make me ultimately happy, that this other person can give me all that I need, that this other person is the satisfaction of my life. Well, you say, "Colin, isn't that love?" No, it's not love. If there is love, there is first of all a knowledge that you yourself are at peace with yourself in God, that you are a total or a completed person in yourself in God. And therefore you share yourself with that other person, giving him or her the love of your life, and that person in turn gives you joys. But you are a person already before that person shares his or her joys. That person does not make you complete. If that were the case, then it is meaningless to think of us as completed in Christ. It is when we're not completed in Christ, when we've blocked God, when we've shut out the light, that we look for another person to be our light. And we project powers and authority upon that God, that person, and we give him the powers of God. We make people too important for us. In a certain way, we need people, no doubt about it, but not in the codependent sense in which we have nothing and they have everything, and they fulfill our joy and our need. So, my friend, you and I need to ask ourselves, am I worshipping others instead of God? And then go beyond that to the very way we religiously worship, though we'll come to that in chapter 2. The forms and the ceremonies, are we replacing God with them? Do we feel only at peace when we're going through a certain ritual, and then when we stop the ritual, we have our pain, emotional pain and spiritual pain all back again? The fact is, a ritual is not God. A ceremony is not God. Attendance at church, membership, even baptism is not God. And so you and I have to ask ourselves, Father, where have we substituted you for something else? Where have we found our solace, our peace, in something else other than you? In the more overt form, obviously, addictions are a form of worship. For I am seeking to get peace, fulfillment out of drink, or drugs, or food, or sex. I have sought to find my wholeness in them, rather than my wholeness in Christ. Now remember, chapter 1 of Romans talks about paganism expressing itself as religion. Chapter 2 talks about religion expressing itself in paganism. Chapter 1, paganism expressing itself as religion. Chapter 2, religion expressing itself as paganism. It is startling what we do. It is amazing at our capacity to exchange our God for something else, not realizing even that we are doing it, until we pause and realize, I want from this thing everything I want from Jesus Christ and the Father. God is helping us to see that it is all tinsel in our hands, and that's where his loving wrath brings us to our knees. Just 3 days now, my friend, before our seminar, and I hope you'll join me. Sex and self, bringing the two together in Christ. That's the theme of the seminar. It's on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 29th of January, starting at 9 in the morning. Come a few minutes early or 10 minutes early to get your coffee and orange juice and your seat. 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. We're at La Quinta Inn, 7190. West Hamden Avenue in Lakewood. That's the South Frontage Road of West Hamden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. Now, admission is by donation, recommended $70 to $110. But if you can't afford that, remember all donations are gladly accepted. But if you can, please try, because the income from these seminars helps the annual budget of FaithQuest. Now, remember, this theme is so important to us because Christians are divided. They experience sexuality, but then they feel so embarrassed or ashamed sometimes that they switch God off. Or they experience spirituality, and therefore they shut down their sexuality because they feel it's dirty or forbidden. We want to learn as Christians how to be holistic people by faith in Jesus. How do I have sexual feelings in the presence of Jesus? How do I affirm my sexuality? Because it's part of my human identity, you see. All right, this is a seminar that you will not, the subject of which you will not hear about in most Christian circles. I urge you to join me and you'll be blessed. See you then. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.